Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the Spring 2020 Wednesday webinar series.
I'm going to turn the time over now to Kara Rector and her class, 10 Things I Wish I Had Known When I Started Homeschooling.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I am very excited to be here. Due to all of the changes that we're having, this is very new. Doing webinars is new to us. And already, my computer has decided to present me with my first technical problem. It will not connect to the internet, so I'm doing this via my phone. So if notifications pop up or text messages, I will try to disregard them. Please, you know, don't be too distracted by them. So we're just going to jump into the class. So my history with homeschooling, my background, I was homeschooled off and on growing up. I started in first grade, and then my family, being a military family, we moved all around the country. And some places were a really good place for homeschooling, some circumstances weren't. So I went kind of back and forth, had a partial public school, partial homeschooled education. And then when we had kids, I kind of had this impression that, you know, I kind of know the principles. I know, you know, I got this, it'll be okay. And I quickly learned that there is a huge difference between being the homeschooled kid and being the homeschooling adult. And a lot of my ideas and beliefs I needed to challenge, and I needed to change, and I needed to learn and grow. So when we started homeschooling our kids, we first went through a state cyber school. I live in Pennsylvania. And cyber schooling is one of the publicly funded options you can do. And for us, that was a good bridge between the kids having, because they started in public school, the kids having a teacher and then going to self-guided study. It kind of gave us a little bit of focus and direction. And while I worked, while we worked in that schooling model, I worked as a parent ambassador. And so I helped mentor other parents who were making these new changes. And so here's us, here's our family. Decided to go with this picture because we are just a little bit wild and crazy and wacky. And as I worked with families and I worked with people making these big changes, I found myself talking through a lot of these same principles and a lot of these same topics. So I based this class both on the things that I wish I had known as well as the things that I have found that several of the homeschooling families that I worked with wish that they had known as well. And I'm going to go through them in no specific order. And we're going to just kind of look. And even though right now with everything that's going on in the world, I'm sure in attendance we have a lot of homeschooling families, and then we also have a number of families that are finding themselves in their homebound education situation that they did not choose. And that provides an opportunity for some great growth and some great change as well. So these principles, though a lot of them apply to homeschool, a lot of the principles, the underlying currents to them really do apply to when we find ourselves in a different circumstance that we are needing to adjust and change to. So I hope that these are helpful, and we're going to jump into it. These are the 10 things that I've identified as a glance, and we'll go, or at a glance, sorry, and then we'll go through and unpack these and talk a little bit about each one of them. So number one is you don't have to know everything. Two, homeschooling is like being married. I'll explain that when we get to that. Number three, all learning is valuable. Four, you don't need to prove to other people that you are capable. Five, relationships before grades, or I might add performance. Not all homeschool families use grades, but relationship before outcome. Your family doesn't need to fit anybody else's mold. Perfection is the opposite of progress. educational gaps happen no matter how children are educated. Don't compare your kids, and to give yourself grace. So for number one, you don't have to know everything. I picked some quotes that to me have been helpful along the way. We often get stuck into a belief that when something new, we just really wish that we had the cache of wealth, of knowledge, like this wealth knowledge safe or something, that we just have to intuitively know how to get through things. That isn't the case. We know how to do things by doing them. We learn. There's always day one, and there's day two, and there's day three, and it's always a learning experience. So I enjoy these quotes and refer back to them when I find myself getting, so we've been homeschooling now for about, I have one who's about to graduate, I've been homeschooling now for about 8 years. And sometimes I still have that expectation of myself that after 8 years, I should really know what I'm doing. And I really should just kind of know everything by now, but I don't. I still don't have all the answers. So you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. I like that because, you know, if we decided to pick up any new hobby or skill or anything, we need to start in order to turn that into something great. And oftentimes we stop ourselves from starting because we're not already good at it. And then from Michelangelo, who was a master at his craft, he was educated and enlightened, and he's someone that we all view, that he says he is still learning. He says, I am still learning. And remember that while your children are students, you are a student as well. And you're a student in life, and you're a student in learning to adapt to your current situation. Homeschooling is a lot like being married. This is the best advice that I have given to so many families when they start this, because they don't know what to expect. So some days are absolutely heavenly. Some days are completely opposite, but most days are somewhere in the spectrum of in between. One of the things that I found to be a common belief with me as well as other families is that if we're doing the right thing and this is the right answer and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it should feel heavenly, or it should feel easy, or it should make sense. And that just is not the case most of the time. And I think many of us, or at least many, myself and many of the people that I know, had those feelings about being married. You knew that it was the right thing. You loved your fiance and you were excited and you were jumping into this thing, you're going to share this life together, and there was no doubt, except for sometimes, you know, creeping doubts get in there, but you were still very sure that this was the right thing to do. And you get married, and it's wonderful, and then it's also terrible, but most of the time, it's somewhere in between. And I remember somewhere in the second or third year of homeschooling, I had a wonderful mindset shift, where instead of labeling my days, I gave myself permission to just label moments. So we're having a hard moment, or we're having a heavenly moment, and not give that power to say we had a bad day, we had a good day, and then wait for the next day to start over again. It felt like giving myself permission to just say that was a hard moment, but I can start over right away in this next moment. You know, I just did the thing I said I would never do. And then giving the day that power to say it ruined my day. And now I've had a bad day. And I have to wait till tomorrow to start over again was holding me back, rather than saying we had a rough moment or we had a hard moment, and now let's go have a good moment. And even after 8 years, our homeschool days still tend to be like a patchwork quilt of successful moments, unsuccessful moments, rough moments, moments we'd rather erase, and moments we hope we never forget. And then three, all learning is valuable. Learning is a treasure that will follow its owner everywhere, the Chinese proverb. And our entire experience of living on this earth is hands-on learning. is a hands-on learning lab. That's me. That's what I tell people. So I suppose if you want to copy it and, you know, put me in the little quotes, you know, feel free. But we often categorize out our learning as scholastic learning and then like life lessons. But any learning that we're experiencing is valuable, and we learn every day. We had such a baptism by fire in this, really, about 3.5 years ago or so, almost 4 years ago. We were having our youngest baby, and I was diagnosed with early onset preeclampsia. I know a lot of people that know me have heard this story. And it was such a molding experience in our family, because I had to live at the hospital for 5 weeks, and school was hard. My husband was working from home. He was never very sure if the kids were doing what they needed to do. I would try to be on the phone with them, but it was constantly interrupted by my blood pressure being checked, and I needed to take that medicine, and they were monitoring the baby multiple times a day, so it was never consistent. But during that time, they got a lot less of that scholastic book learning, the, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, history, all of that. But they gained a wealth of life learning. They gained learning in prayer. They grew closer to our Heavenly Father, and they learned that they can get through hard and scary things. And what they learned in that 5 month time period, I wouldn't trade for years of scholastic knowledge. One of the lessons that they bring up often is they said, the scripture comes alive, especially my oldest brings this one up a lot. The scripture that the Lord will provide a blessing big enough that there will hardly be room to receive it. She said she really learned that and lived that and experienced that, because while I was in the hospital, those that were helping to care for my family provided food and other needs just beyond what they could handle, beyond what they could, like, we just didn't have space for all the food that was being provided. They were just well fed, and the people were so kind, and they just felt like their cup overflowed, not just in food, but in kindness. And there was even a sweet experience where some people had given my husband gift cards, because they knew that eating meals at home may not always be very realistic. And they were eating at a Subway restaurant, and he was just going through the schedule with the kids. You know, we're going to go visit mom in the hospital, and then we're going to go, you know, do this and get home. And another woman walked up and said, I overheard you talking to your kids, and gave him another gift card for another meal. And they learned more from that hard time in our life and that 5 month time period that is more valuable than what they might have learned if I had been home teaching them algebra or trying to teach them algebra. And 4, your family doesn't need to fit anybody else's mold. All of our families are unique, and each individual in our family is unique. There's a mindset, like a belief, or I don't know, curriculum or things that are coming up about our family's culture. And I really like that, because some people have a family culture of music. Some people have a family culture of comedy. Some people have a family culture of math and engineering. We have a family culture, you know, it's kind of a blessing and a curse, of cooking and creating and baking and creating food, which, you know, again, there are some downsides to that, but mostly it's just really wonderful and beautiful. And every family has their own mold, has their own traditions and teachings and beliefs and history and stories that make them unique. And oftentimes it can be, we see a family, we look for an example, and we see, oh, this family is really great about this. I really want to do that. And it's good. That's good. And in looking for examples and looking for mentors and looking for ideas, all of that is good and all of that is positive. But it's easy for us to slip into the belief that if we are not utilizing those ideas and those ideas don't work for our family, or we're not following those examples the way that we think we should, and we're just not fitting into the mold that we think is so beautiful in this other family, that we're somehow failing and we're not doing things right and we're making mistakes, when the truth is everybody's family has a unique mold and unique needs, and both as the family and the whole, and then each individual person within that family. And number five, relationship before grades. I put grades, but really, because like in our home, we really don't grade our kids. Our kids work till they have it mastered. So they just work towards mastery. And mastery in some curriculums is considered 80% mastery, some is 90%. So nobody gets A's and B's and like that. So outcome. So really relationship before outcome. And my quote here is that there is no doubt that it is around the family and the home that all the greatest virtues are created, strengthened, and maintained. And when we think in the long scope of our children's lives, we will have a relationship with them that far surpasses their years, their K through 12 years with us. And I'm not one that kind of comes from the school of like you should be friends with your kids necessarily. There's definitely a parent-child relationship that is important to maintain, to have structure. But I also believe you can still have that and be friendly and friends with your kids. I consider my kids my friends. I love to be around them. And ultimately, whether they get the right amount of worksheets that you want them to get done, or they do this project, or they finish, you know, whatever lesson plan they're following, that's temporary, but our relationships with them are long-term. And it's okay to have structure, and it is okay to have rules. In fact, I think it's quite important and necessary to have all of those, but I don't feel personally that it's okay to utilize shame, to utilize things that tear each other down, to utilize short-term words, short-term actions and behaviors to fix what you want them to fix in the short term that jeopardizes them and your relationship with them in the long term. Let me go back to that real quick. Even so much so that I have a friend, and this just popped in my head to share the story. He was really trying to make homeschool work. She really felt like it was the right thing for their family, but they fought all the time. And after 3 years, after giving it a really good 3-year try, she was like, I need a break from them. They need a break from me. And they put their kids back in public school, and the family has been so much better off for it as a family unit and as individuals. And you know, I use that example because even sticking into a homeschooling mold isn't the right one, isn't the right thing for everything. And that family was able to put their relationship long-term with their kids in front of the mold that they felt they were really hoping would work. So I wanted to give that example real quick. You don't need to prove you are capable. There is often a temptation to want to prove to others that you can do this. The danger in looking outward for approval is that we can fall short-sighted in seeing what our families might really need. From personal experience, my biggest example of this was when my oldest was learning to read. She was a young reader, and she was starting to read on her own, and she was four and a half. And I was like, awesome, we're going to jump on this. We're going to do preschool time, and I'm going to teach her to read. And in all of that excitement, the temptation and the thought and the mindset that I could easily fall prey to is, and then my parents will think I'm doing a really good job as a mom. and then my husband will be so impressed with how I'm educating our kids. Then my neighbors will see us as a great example. Then my in-laws will agree that homeschooling might be a good idea. All of these things, and maybe nobody was, you know, thinking any of those things, but those were the things that were getting stuck kind of in my head. And so I would put that expectation on my kids for them to prove my capability, and looking outward for approval just tends to be, I don't know, like it can just snowball and really affect so much of your life and your mental health and your mental well-being. And that's true in any new situation. I'm seeing a lot of people right now, you know, asking their friends, how am I doing at this? How am I doing at that? I'm home with my kids all day. I'm feeling upset with them. Is that okay? Does that make me mean? And I'm trying to tell people, give yourself grace. We don't have a template for getting through these new experiences in our lives, whether the new experiences are homeschooling, public schooling, homebound education, whatever it may be. We are capable of doing it because we are doing it, not because somebody else says that we are capable. Kind of piggybacks right along with that is that perfection is the opposite of progress. So perfect is the enemy of good. And that has said by Voltaire. And I like that. I listen to a fair amount of Brené Brown, and she talks about shame a lot. And she says, you know, perfectionism really is just the other side of the coin of shame. And when we try to work, like I said, our kids work towards mastery, it would be very hard for them to, and for us as parents, to be able to ever move forward if we were looking for perfection. Perfection is very subjective to each individual. My daughter, who enjoys making cakes, if she tries to make a cake to perfection, she's more likely to hold herself back from being able to learn. I really feel that those who can say that they are, you know, like Michelangelo, who can say that they are still learning, are the ones that will be able to continue to progress through whatever it is that they're trying to learn, instead of saying there's only value in this if it's perfect. That really, it's a very, very short step from I need to do everything perfect to I'm never enough and I'm not good enough. So a caution with trying to be perfect. And then in number 8, educational gaps happen no matter how children are schooled. So a big insecurity that I've talked to a lot of parents about that we have struggled with is that our kids won't get the well-rounded education that maybe somebody else could provide. But the more I kind of dug into this and the more I talked with other people, and ask them about their educational experiences. So many people, unless they were wanting to learn something, didn't always retain it. A lot of people have learned to the test. A lot of people were taught something. It might even be a life skill by their parents. You'd be like, oh yeah, my mom taught me how to make bread, but it was never a big deal. Wasn't important to me. So I just forgot about it. Kids that take music lessons don't always retain it because they don't want to. Kids that, I mean, we want them to learn math facts and, you know, all of those things. There is no such thing as a perfectly well-rounded, you're going to get and absorb everything for the rest of your life education, and it doesn't matter how much money or time or energy is put into that. There's a financial advisor on YouTube that I enjoy following, and he talks about how his parents wanted him to be a doctor, and when he was 12, they started paying really a lot of money for private tutors for him to take science and anatomy classes. Well, he grew up, he really didn't want to be a doctor, he wanted to be a lawyer. He doesn't remember anything from those expensive tutors because that wasn't his passion. So educational gaps do happen, and that's okay. We are finite vessels. We are never going to absorb everything perfectly, and that's okay. Don't compare your kids, kind of along with some of my other points, but this more specifically, don't compare your kids to each other. And from Romans 25:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And then Theodore Roosevelt's very famous quote, comparison is the thief of joy. This happens all the time. It's so easy to compare our kids to each other and then also to other kids, you know, outside of our immediate families. And our kids are all very different. Our kids have their own path that they need to take in life that really has nothing to do with us. And when we get into the trap of comparing our kids to each other, even when it comes to, I find this a lot in my experience with curriculum, I'll be like, oh, this works for my second daughter. This is the best curriculum. I'm just going to buy it for everybody. But it's not the best and most perfect curriculum for everybody. It's the right one for her. And I can compare, you know, where they're at and where she's at. And it can just become an endless cycle of frustration and just not good for our mental health and not good for our kids' mental health, because it can bring in that sneaky, angry voice of shame to them as well. And the most important one, I did leave this till the last, the rest were in no specific order, but to give yourself grace. We come to this earth, I'm getting a little emotional just thinking about it. We come to this earth to mature and discover the seeds of divine nature that are within us from our primary general president. And self-compassion is a key. When we're able to be gentle with ourselves in the midst of shame, we're more likely to reach out, connect, and experience empathy. And connection is so important to us, and experiencing that empathy is so important to us, to our divine selves, and to our mental well-being, that even going through a list of 10 things I wish I had known, I still fall prey to most of those things at one time or another. And it's easy to get psyched up and be like, oh, this is great. I'm never going to compare my kids. And I am going to totally put my relationship before their grades or their outcomes. And then you don't. And then you're like, ugh. And then we get into the shame cycle and things get difficult and it affects our mental well-being. But remember that your children are on a journey. You are on a journey. Life puts us in circumstances that we have never experienced before. And because they're new, we don't have that cache of wisdom to help us get through it. And we're learning day by day. And you are enough. You can make it through anything because you are a child of God, because you are enough. And to give yourself first that love and that grace and that compassion, and then that will more easily spread to those around you. Thank you very much for tuning in to my class. Remember that you've got this, regardless of where you are in whatever journey you might be in. The fact that you're on the journey means that you can do it. And thank you very much. And I'm ready to take questions if there are any questions.
All right, Kara, at this point, I do not see any questions. If anybody has any questions, go to the question and answer and type them in, and she will be happy to answer them. If there are no questions, that's fine as well.
Hopefully, this was a successful beginner webinar for us. This is new territory for us at LDSHE, and we're really excited to be able to use our technology to be able to reach out and connect with everybody. It's just wonderful. It's such a miracle.
All right, Kara, I do see a question. What was a great moment for your family with homeschool?
A great moment for our family. So there's definitely a lot of great moments. Some of the great moments are kind of, I think, ongoing great moments. It's the time we're able to be together. I love that our schoolwork is integrated with our family life. So often when we sit down and we're eating dinner and we're talking about our day, we're also talking about the question we had in science that we weren't able to, or we were excited about or weren't able to wrap our minds around, or we'll talk about history, or we love to go on car trips and listen to audiobooks. And those tie in with what we're learning sometimes. And I think for us, we have like this ongoing gift of time together that's creating bonds and memories. And so like sometimes we have higher points and sometimes we have lower points, but really I think for me, the greatest part of homeschooling are those that, I don't know, that like that tapestry of all the little moments put together to create like one giant, really cool experience.
Great, thanks, Kara. The next one that's come in, it's the question is, how did you change your mindset to label moments instead of days?
You know, that's a good question. I was working as a parent ambassador at that time, and I had four different families, and I would work with one family each week, and one was just really struggling with a daughter that was just having a hard time. And we were just trying to like really figure it out. And at that point I was kind of like, yeah, we have good days and bad days. And we just kind of, she was just really reaching out for help. And sometimes I find for me that when I'm trying to offer help to someone else, I give myself the answers that I need. And I was like, how about we just stop saying bad days? We just stop giving it that label and then start labeling it to a hard moment, because the hard moment you can get over. Like you can stub your toe and it might, you know, hurt for a little bit, but you can get over it. You can step on a rock and then you can go out and play and be okay. And then it for me, it tied in with gratitude, and I was able to have more gratitude for the good moments, because when I label the day as a bad day, those good moments would disappear. And so we might've had one or two bad moments, but if I said it was a bad day, then like the seven good moments would just kind of disappear. So I was just able to have more gratitude, and that helped me. And it's a process. And sometimes it's a process of just saying it to yourself every day. We had a hard moment. This is a hard moment. It's okay. We can now go have a good moment.
Thanks, Kara. That's really important information, I think, for all of us. One of the next questions is, what was your greatest challenge and how did you overcome it?
So, oh, that's a big question. I feel like that has changed through the years. My greatest challenge in the beginning was creating a schedule where I felt we were getting enough balance in the day, where I would feel like, okay, we cannot be done with schoolwork in an hour and a half. That just isn't enough schoolwork. When they were younger, but then maybe it was, and just trying to figure out and trying to have peace that what I was doing was enough in the very beginning. And now that most of our kids are teenagers, we have a three-year-old, but everyone else is, we have four teenagers. And I feel like now my biggest challenge is, am I preparing them enough for real life? Which when I express that to some of my friends, they're like, are you kidding me? Like your kids can cook and they can clean and they have checking accounts, you know, and all of that. And they know how to use debit cards. And I've let them experiment with debt a little bit so that they understand that when they promise money away, they have to pay it back. And but I still grapple with it. Like, I just still really grapple with, you know, is the education for real life really, really, really enough? And so I guess it comes back to my biggest challenge, and I'm still working on overcoming it, is that, am I enough? Am I doing enough? And I've come a long way in it, and I've worked a lot on, you know, my own mental well-being and my own divine nature. And it's always just a work in progress.
Thanks. Glad to know I'm not the only one that has some of those feelings. All right, we have one last question, Kara, and it is, what was the hardest thing for your kids to get used to?
The hardest thing for them to get used to, I think, in the beginning, and they still struggle with it now, was me correcting them. When my oldest was playing the piano, because I have enough of a background in piano, I can teach some very basic piano, and I was telling her that she needed to change her finger positions, and she just started crying. You don't like me. You think I'm terrible at this. It was just really, really hard, and I feel like that's something that was a big adjustment for them, and we're all better at it now. Like, it's okay if mom says, you know, you spelled that word wrong, need to change it, you know. But it was just to accept me in like a teacher role. That's part of why it was really good for us to do the cyber school, because they had a teacher separate from me in that cyber school that they could, that would check in with them. Mostly we did everything asynchronously, like we did it as a family, but they had to turn their reports into a teacher, and that was one of the hardest things for them to adjust to. And I imagine that across America right now, that is a really hard thing that a lot of homebound families are struggling with, because mom and dad are having to correct them more in their schoolwork, and that is just really hard.
All right. Well, that is all the questions. We are going to end this webinar now. We thank everyone for being here and hope that you will join us for our next one later on this evening at 6 Eastern. And we will be hearing from Jessica Croker. Thanks, everyone, for being here, and have a wonderful day.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.